Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan presents Schlereth and Evans.
The Avs get out of trouble. McKinnon, another burst. Look at him go! Nate Dogg scores! Watch out! Here comes McKinnon! Scores! Final minute of the second. Watch out. McKinnon's got wheels. McKinnon's going to go right around Middleton. Here he comes again. Hello! Here come the Hats!
Bucci, John Buccigross there with the call on ESPN. He's been on the Avs beat last couple of games, calling the Dallas game. And then again last night, watching Nathan McKinnon in all his brilliance. And can we just say, he clinched it last night. I mean, there's no other way to put it. He was trending as the favorite to win the Hart Trophy as the MVP. And last night, Mark Schlereth, good morning, he clinched it. Locked it down.
I'm telling you, and I've said this, and you and I talked about this before we even came on. I've said this for 2 years now. There are times where he looks like Tyreek Hill on a football field.
Yep.
You shouldn't be that much faster and better than everybody else on the ice. And it's not like you're in year two. It's not like you got the youngest legs in the world. I mean, I know he's still a young man, but my gosh. That dude just straight up had a rocket up his ass. I mean, it's unbelievable. The difference, like the eyeball test don't lie. I don't know, you know, they were talking about the speed. Bucci was talking about the speed. I was texting with Bucci last night while I was in the booth. I was like, dude, McKinnon is outrageous. He's going to jump on tomorrow. Bucci's going to jump on with us tomorrow. But it just was unreal watching it. And you're 100% right. I was just locked down. National television, ESPN. And you want to talk about putting on a show. Dude, put on a show.
These are the best hockey players in the world.
Right?
And he was skating around them like they were orange cones that you would set up for a drill.
I tell you, the one, I think it was to Lehkonen, where he's down on the down just behind the goal on the left-hand side. He gets control of the puck, and instead of taking a shot, he's right on the... He flips it backhand to Lehkonen.
And point.
It was a great point. It was such, because I think the average player would have just taken a shot. Like, get it and just shoot it. Like, just one time real quick. But he controls it and then backhands it over to Lehkonen, who has this wide open wrister on the, you know, on the far side. And I'm telling you, I was just like, that assist in and of itself shows you, he's kind of like, it's like Jokic having eyes in the back of his head, knowing where his guys are. He's got that kind of hockey acumen, that sense of the game. And I tell you, last night it was brilliant to watch. It really was.
Well, it's funny you bring up that assist. It's a great point, because that assist was like, wow, what a look, what a pass. And it shows the growth, the evolution of his game as an overall playmaker. We've always known him to be an assassin, a sniper, as a scorer, but it's his playmaking that has gone to a whole nother level this year. He's got 86 assists, which blows away his previous career high, which was set last year at 69. So he's blown away the number on the assists, but that beautiful dish became almost an afterthought. You got to remind people about that beautiful pass because of what he subsequently did with the hat trick.
How many points did he have last night? Five? Did he have four or five?
4.9. It was funny, too, because Nikita Kucherov, arguably his top threat maybe to win the Hart Trophy for the MVP, had 3 points, had 3 assists, and it was almost like McKinnon said, all right, well, cute, you had 3 assists. I'm going to score a hat trick.
Right.
In the most electrifying way that's maybe been seen all season long by anybody.
In a league that has so many goofy rules with points and stuff, shouldn't a goal, I mean, like, okay, if a goal is 1 point, an assist shouldn't be one. It should be a half point.
Not all points should be equal. Yeah.
Although that assist, I say that and I think back to the assist he had to Lehkonen, and I was like, that was brilliant. That's a brilliant. Because he doesn't – that angle that he would have – he'd have shot it. That would have gotten eaten up by – what's the guy's name? Gustafsson?
Yes.
Gus the mouse.
It's amazing how you, the one who always likes to make fun of wins, losses, shootout losses, overtime wins, over OTLs, all that kind of stuff, are now advocating to further dilute and split up the way that points are awarded to players. A goal should get you 2 points. The first assist, the assist that leads to the goal should be worth a point. And then what, the second assist should be worth half a point? Is that what you want to do?
Yeah, well, you know, I said it and instantly regretted saying it because it just makes it more convoluted than it already is.
Uh-huh.
So I retract that first statement that I really wasn't thinking.
Meanwhile, the Avalanche get the big win, sets up the big showdown with Winnipeg coming up on Saturday for the Avs as they try to lock down the number two spot in the Central Division and home ice in the first round against Winnipeg. With that matchup now looking like it's pretty much a lock that those two are going to play. So now it's just a matter of who has home ice, and that will likely be determined. We'll see. But with the Avs hosting Winnipeg on Saturday, so nice couple of days off here.
Mm-hmm.
And here we go.
Meanwhile, real quick, Mike.
Yes, Johnny Fever.
Sid, what day is it?
Mike. What day is it, Mike?
Oh,
man.
Now we can start the show.
You got so excited.
That's my bad. Rogue, my bad. I was so excited to get
started with the McKinnon talk.
We didn't get out there. Texters, thank you. But no, this was not Rogue going rogue. This was me getting a little jumpy.
I got jumpy. You quick drawed him.
I had Nathan McKinnon like jump.
Yes,
the start
you
of the
did.
Show.
You had Smoke Jensen clear leather. Like you went right after him.
Oh my goodness! And then you got the Nuggets taking care of business. Speaking of your Tyreek Hill reference, I'll tell you what, you got another kind of sort of Tyreek Hill sort of comparison to make to what the Nuggets did last night, and also a clear idea of what the difference is between the Nuggets and the Timberwolves as they get ready to play tonight for the likely number one seed in the West. That's coming up next.
It's Schlereth and Evans on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
I'm doing this to make a comparison, make a point that I think we could all understand, right? And see it in your mind's eye as you're listening here to us. But you were making the point yesterday that watching Nathan McKinnon just blow past Minnesota Wild players like they were standing still, it was like watching Tyreek Hill run through a secondary in the NFL. The difference is mind-boggling when you consider these are some of the best athletes on the planet, and Tyreek Hill makes them look silly. That's what Nathan McKinnon did yesterday in making members of the Wild look silly. And you have another comparison to the Chiefs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In regards to what you saw from the Nuggets last night.
Yeah, well, the Tyreek thing, I think, struck a nerve with some, you know, Broncos country because of what Miami did to us last year. That's what Nathan McKinnon looked like the equivalent of the Miami Dolphins against the Broncos when they hung 70 on us. That's how it looked last night with Nathan. Then I said, well, with the Nuggets, I felt like there was this Kansas City Broncos almost cat toying with a mouse, half dead mouse on the porch. It was like anytime, you know, they kind of relax and the Jazz would kind of get back into it on an 8-0 run or a 9-0, whatever it was, they just go, yeah, let's stop that. And next thing you know, it was a 7-0 run back the other way. They toyed with them. And I think the other thing that was very apparent yesterday is without Jamal Murray, the Nuggets don't have a chance to repeat. And I'm not saying he's the equivalent of the Joker, but he's damn close. Either one of those guys is out, they don't have a chance.
Agreed.
They don't. Agreed. And Jamal is, he's legit, man. He is ice water in the veins, dude.
Kicking balls, man.
Yeah, he does. And I tell you what, his health, you know, his health is, he plays tonight, and then you just kind of put him in cruise control from here on out.
Yeah, it was important for me, and I think for a lot of Nugget fans, with him being out for that many games. Hey, what's going on? Right. You know, is this just maintenance? Is this just, hey, keeping you under wraps until the playoffs come along? But to see him out there not only playing, but looking like Jamal, not only the effortless scoring
right.
and the scoring in bunches, but the defense. They give out their defensive player of the game award every night, and he got it
right
for his play defensively. Said after the game, hey, I could play defense too, you know.
Uh-huh.
And you know, this was a reminder. So, yeah, there you go. So two Chief-related mentions
right.
with our local teams. So
I'm here.
Yes, we know. Didn't even get to you.
I'm yeah. here.
I know. Enough.
Yeah, but Tyreek is in Miami now, so.
Doesn't matter whether it's Miami or with the Chiefs. That's what I remember.
I love you guys, man.
Mm-hmm.
Why you got to bring up Miami?
That's extreme.
It is extreme. It is extreme.
Come on, man.
Boy, that was.
Can't we just leave that alone?
That's obvious.
You remember how you felt after that game or during it while you were watching it? Wow.
I was like, Sean. What's going on, Sean?
Well, I talk with Russell about, it's none of your business.
Yeah, I was calling another game. I don't know what game I was calling, but my producer
probably an NFC South game.
Yeah, probably. It was probably an Atlanta game.
Atlanta, New Orleans.
my producer kept getting in my ear. Hey, Miami just scored again. Shut up, man.
So the Nuggets and Timberwolves tonight for the division, probably for the number one seed, home court throughout. But I thought it was interesting the reaction or the look ahead to this game and the two really different approaches. So this was Anthony Edwards of the Timberwolves after their win over Washington last night, in which mm-hmm. they kind of toyed with Washington, fell behind by a bunch, and then flipped the switch and came back to win. But Edwards, talking about the game with Denver tonight, said, quote, I think everyone knows what is at stake. I don't even need to talk about how big it is. Everybody knows. Then you got Nikola Jokic when asked about the matchup. Quote, I don't think it's a really big game. Yes, we're going to go out there and play to win the game, of course, but I think people are just making their stories that it's a big game. Hopefully it's going to be interesting. You got one player from a team that is desperately trying to show they belong
mm-hmm.
versus another guy with a team that already knows they've arrived.
Right.
And the Nuggets sure would like to have home court. They're not going to turn it down
mm-hmm.
if they earn it. But you take an answer like that as proof that they're confident they can go anywhere, anytime,
yeah,
and get it done. Whereas the Timberwolves probably look at it and say, much like the Nuggets last year, you know, the Nuggets, as they were trying to prove themselves, finishing with the top seed, going for it, that mattered. Right. You know, when you're trying to climb the mountain for the first time, that kind of stuff matters. But once you've done it, it doesn't matter as much. And I think it's reflected in the two comments right there.
Yeah, one is this game is a litmus test for us to prove that we have confidence that we can go into a series with the Nuggets and compete and potentially win. Where the Nuggets already have confidence. We can go in, beat Minnesota. That's not arrogance. It's just confidence. And I always say arrogance comes from a place of fear. You
don't
know you haven't done the work.
Offend yeah. your insecurity.
Right. You know you've done the work. You know you, like that's where confidence comes from. Arrogance comes from, I haven't done the work. I'm not really prepared. So let me puff out my chest and, you know, slam it with my fists and shout and, Rrr. But you're not really, you really haven't done it. They're confident, man.
On the RamosLaw.com text line, 303-713-1043, Tim of Strasburg, after a game that became way too close, how big is Jamal's boo rating?
Yeah.
Balls over opponent.
Yeah.
He took over the game for a minute. I thought he was going to dribble himself up the court. But the healthy Jamal and the Nuggets have a great shot at repeating.
There's no question, man. That dude is a difference maker. Just a absolute difference maker. Stone cold killer. He is fun to watch.
Another one, I don't remember the game or who the opponent was, but McKinnon got the puck and skated past the defender who was mic'd up, and all you could hear from him was, oh boy.
Yeah, that was the frozen.
That was
at Air Force.
It was either Air Force or the Lake Tahoe game.
It was one of the outdoor games.
And the defenseman was like, oh boy, here he comes. Yeah, I don't even know. I don't know if those Minnesota players even had time for an oh boy.
No. Oh boy.
I think it was more like, what the hell was that?
Yeah.
What?
Dude, he just
anyone get the license plate of that thing?
Right.
Where do you guys think Jamal Murray ranks in terms of guards in the NBA?
It's a great question because he's never played in an All-Star game.
Where does he rank?
Just purely off talent and what you see on the floor.
I outside of Steph Curry, there's no other guard I would want in a big game, big playoff series than Jamal Murray.
Yeah, you're rating him in must-have moments. Yeah, I know they have these ratings like, crunch time moments, whatever. That's the dude you want.
But, Rogue, you bring up a great point. I could walk through any NBA city, any city that you can find basketball fans, and just walk up to anyone and say, give me your top five guards in the NBA. Everyone would say Steph, Dame, Brunson.
Maybe Kyrie.
Brunson's a good player.
Booker.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know how many cities you'd walk through asking that question, top five guards in the NBA, and have one person say Jamal Murray. Until the finals come along.
Right.
And the playoffs come along, and then those same fans are sitting down watching and going, damn, how did I forget about him?
Right.
I think Jamal Murray is probably the most underrated player in the NBA.
He's on the short list.
I would tell you, having, doing the TV stuff and talking to a bunch of NBA guys, because, I always lean on guys for knowledge, not in the NBA. Even though he doesn't get voted the All-Star game, he's a notorious kind of slow starter at the beginning of the season. But in the NBA, like, the secret's out. The guys who play know.
Oh, they know.
They know.
They know.
It's the fan bases that don't really realize.
Not yet.
No, but how long does it take to win another championship? Right. How long does it take? How many championships you got to win before fans start voting for you for the All-Star?
Well, you're probably getting tired of hearing me talk about the Spurs references, the comparisons, but how long did it take for Tony Parker to really, really step out onto that national stage?
Mm-hmm.
It's been 84 years.
Not that long.
It was a long time.
Coming up in about 20 minutes, how much would you pay to have dinner with Deion Sanders? But up next, the Morning Brew, we'll hear from an Avalanche player not named Nathan MacKinnon, who also had a career-defining night last night. That's next.
With an advanced network, cybersecurity solutions, and trusted partnership, Comcast Business powers more businesses than anyone. Comcast Business, powering possibilities.
Get started with internet and security for your small business for $49.99 a month for 12 months with a 2-year contract. Plus, ask how to get up to an $800 prepaid card with qualifying internet. Call today. Ends 5/5/24. Restrictions apply. New customers only with 50 megabits per second internet and security edge. Eco bill and auto pay required. Equipment, taxes, and fees extra.
It's time for your Morning Brew. Grab a cup of Joe and get caught up on everything you need to know. Here's Schlereth and Evans.
What a night for Nathan MacKinnon. In my humble opinion, he nailed down, clinched the MVP last night with his four-point night, a hat trick, went over the 50-goal plateau, continues to have an otherworldly season, and the 50th goal, by the way, assisted on by his childhood buddy, Jonathan Drouin.
Yeah, we were laughing. Actually, after his first goal, I thought we were playing in Halifax, to be honest. As I've seen those breakout goals where he just blows by the D and the D doesn't even send a chance. So he had his legs tonight for sure.
And by the way, how about Jonathan Drouin? A career night for him as well, as he set a career high in points with 56. What a find that was. That was... You talk about sifting through the clearance rack. You talk about going through the bargain bins looking for something nice and cheap.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Jonathan Drouin was.
Right.
And much like when the Avs brought in Val Nichushkin and resuscitated his career, same thing here with Jonathan Drouin, to the point where now you start, you know, looking ahead to the offseason and the salary cap and everything like that, and you got to start figuring, hey, can we find a way to bring back Jonathan Drouin now on a long-term deal?
And just the camaraderie, the relationship he has with MacKinnon, important. I think that would be important to the franchise. He's very much like Rogue's Jordans that her mom sold in the garage sale.
Yeah.
You know?
That's like going to a garage sale and finding one of those.
Yeah, here's some Jordans that are worth $700, but I'll give them to you for 50 cents.
Right.
Yeah.
That's Jonathan Drouin, right?
Yeah.
Next on the...
Oh, God, please, no!
Bringing out the painful memories for us.
I know.
Next on the Morning Brew, the Nuggets dispensing of a bad, bad Utah team. But, you know, still, Utah's given the Nuggets a Michael Malone fits over the years in Utah, but not last night. Nuggets take care of business. Minnesota took care of business last night at home against Washington. Sets up the big showdown for likely number one seed in the West. But Michael Malone, pleased with how his team took care of business against the Jazz.
I told our players, I asked them right before the game, I said, how many losses do you think we have to teams below 500? And somebody said 15, 18. I said, no, so we have four. And obviously one was to this very team, and three were to Houston. So we've done a great job all year long of beating the teams that on paper you're supposed to beat.
That does show something, because when you're a defending champion and you're getting everybody's best shot every single night,
yeah,
it'd be real easy to just kind of let down.
It is real easy to let down. It is real easy when you play a team that you know isn't good. You know, and you almost have that flip the switch mentality, kind of like Minnesota did last night against the Wizards, yep, or whatever they are. Washington, yep. What are they?
Caps? Wizards.
Wizards are the Wizards?
Yeah. Caps are the...
Yeah, the Bullets. I was thinking the Bullets. They used to be the Washington Bullets.
They used to be the Washington Bullets, yes.
That's Wizards, though. Is Wizards...
Not anymore.
Is that politically correct?
I don't know. Wizard? Well, the Wizards are very memorable. A lot of memorable Wizards out there.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
We should find out if the Wizards are offended.
Right, because if the Wizards are offended, you have to change the name.
Correct.
How many Wizards? Do we have any Wizards on the text line? Because there's good Wizards, like Dumbledore.
Dumbledore.
Would be a good Wizard.
Gandalf. You know, the Wizards of Waverly Place.
Uh-huh.
Always enjoyed that show.
Yeah, but then there's some bad...
Young Selena Gomez, right? Yeah.
And then there's some bad Wizards.
Bat evil Wizards.
They come from Slytherin. So I'm just saying.
Your Harry Potter knowledge is very impressive.
I'm just saying we should.
Rourke in a Quidditch reference and you'll have your own hat trick.
Yeah, we should actually reach out to Wizards.
Just to see if they're offended?
Yeah.
Sure.
Then we'll have them change the name.
Well, as you like to say, everybody's offended these days, so I'm sure the Wizards are as well.
Oh, yeah, Wizards are upset.
Next on the Morning Brew, Rockies lose 3-2 at home against Arizona.
Saw two at-bats of Iron Man, runners in scoring position. He grounded out both times.
Hitting a robust 114.
But he hit the ball fairly hard.
Two teams play again later today, this afternoon, a matinee game at 1:10. The Masters get started tomorrow. Today, the always very popular par 3 contest. But Tiger Woods holding court yesterday. Always good to hear from Tiger. A Tiger who has aged gracefully.
I love watching them succeed. You know, that's part of the game. Is we pass on the knowledge. We don't keep it. All the players that have come before me, I didn't really discover anything new. Is the fact that they were able to share a lot of that with me. And then, you know, that's what we do. We pass on the knowledge to the next generation. And especially here, you know, this is one of the events that we get a chance to do that just because we're playing on the same venue, you know, each and every year. We're able to pass that on. And I think the Masters does an incredible job of bringing together the past and the future of the game of golf.
Watching his press conference yesterday, held court for about 15 minutes, very reflective.
Mm-hmm.
You know, very reflective and... Did say this for all of you who are going to be, you know, placing a wager on the Masters or doing a fantasy league or something like that. He says, I still believe in my heart that I can win again. Fred Couples, who he played with, said, dude looks great. And he knows so much about that course that
can he put four rounds together? Will your body hold up for... Four round. I saw
make
a video.
The cut? Sure, absolutely.
I saw a video of him yesterday working with some of the younger players off of taking a 5-wood out of the rough and how to hit that. And so he's like, I just basically don't hit my 2-iron anymore. Now I love this shot. And then he had all these guys like, you're 185 out, you're in the rough. And he goes, you can just go punch down on it. And all these guys did what he told them, and they hit the heck out of the golf.
These are the biggest names in golf, and they're just like,
wow.
Like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
Like, so it was awe of this guy.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
That'll do it for the Morning Brew. Bring that to you each and every morning at 6:30. Up next, how much would you pay to have dinner with Deion Sanders? Apparently, people are willing to pay a lot. Details next.
Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan presents Schlereth and Evans.
Great 6 a.m. listeners taking care of other 6 a.m. listeners. Got this note passed along on our RamosLaw.com text line. Just an FYI for all the listeners, huge traffic jam on Parker Road near Cherry Creek State Park entrance. Parker's actually closed heading towards 225 northbound. So, make note of that if that is the direction you are heading in. You may want to find an alternative direction. We're hearing from some of the Wizards out there.
Oof.
As you brought up the fact that Minnesota last night beat the Washington Wizards.
Right.
You know, is Wizards an acceptable name?
Yeah.
Should we ask Wizards? Are they okay with that?
Are they?
Here's one. Wizard here. It's so obscure and societally embarrassing that I wouldn't bring it up enough to be offended. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Don't forget about the greatest of them all, Mr. Wizard of the TV show Mr. Wizard's World from Nickelodeon back in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember that one.
Well, Marlon. Was Marlon the magician, but was he a wizard?
Trying to get me to know, really?
No.
Marlin, or I think Merlin was the...
Oh, yeah, Merlin.
Yeah, Merlin. See, this is why we can't have nice things.
Right, Merlin. Not Marlin, but Merlin. He was a magician, right?
Well, no, Merlin was a wizard.
Okay. He was a good wizard, though.
He was a good wizard, yes. No. Yes, he tended to be a good wizard. He was King Arthur's wizard.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, enough of the wizard talk.
Mm-hmm.
Although... I guess this is a good segue. You could argue that what Deion Sanders has done at CU
has some wizardry to it.
Yeah. There's some magic there. There's no doubt about it. And the magic continues. How much would you pay to have dinner with Deion Sanders? So the school, and this is a smart idea. Again, Deion and the bus playing chess when everyone else is playing checkers. They're having an NIL dinner money raising event. Mm. And you can go to this dinner. It's the Black and Gold Weekend Primetime Elite Dinner going on Friday, April 26th, the weekend of the spring game. And already the VIP Prime table has sold out, where you pay over $20,000 to sit at the table and eat dinner with Deion Sanders.
Yeah, now that was like for 8 spots, 20 grand to be one of the 8 people that sit there with Deion.
Correct.
And I don't know who Dion is with. Maybe Shadur.
But there are other tables. There's the Prime table for $17,000. One table in Coach Prime's section. There's the Elite table.
Mm-hmm.
One table with two future pros.
Okay.
That's probably like Shador and Travis Hunter.
Right.
For $15,000. The Black and Gold table. One table with two CU coaches or student athletes.
Mm-hmm.
$12,000. Buff table. One table for friends and family. $7,000. And the Golden Ticket is an individual ticket for one person. $1,000. The goal of this is to raise close to $1 million to go into their NIL fund for all the sports.
Right.
At CU. Smart idea.
Yeah, sure. It's a great idea. And you're going to get people. I mean, you said the table, the $20,000 table sold out, right?
Yep. Immediately.
They didn't jack the price up high enough. What is with the, but they're all like $20,543. Do you see all the 543? Do you see all the numbers?
Oh, yeah. Everything's 543.
Yeah.
20,543, 12,543. You know what? I didn't notice that. You did.
Yeah, what is the 543? What does that represent?
It's the event is being put on by the 5430 Alliance.
5430. What's the 5430 Alliance?
It's an NIL collective that helps Colorado athletes across all sports be able to get them NIL money.
Okay.
But is it NIL money or is it just money? Right?
It's money to be used.
Right. But
for NIL purposes.
But the idea of name, image, likeness is to go out and say, okay, hey, you want to do a Wendy's commercial? You can get paid for your name, image, likeness. Mm-hmm. If you're like sponsoring something, endorsing something. But isn't it now just basically you're just paying athletes?
Yeah.
Not necessarily representing anything. They're just, you're just paying.
Yeah, it's just money to give them.
Yeah. Something else about spring football. I find this interesting and if this.
Money.
If this continues to trend this way, I want to give a shout out to Buff fans because the update yesterday was only 18,000 tickets have been sold to the spring football game. Now, I say only because there was a time where they could not give away tickets to the spring football game.
Sure.
There was a time where 18,000 people going to the spring football game would have been met with mass jubilation.
Right.
But coming on the heels of what we saw last year,
mm-hmm.
when the place was banged out, the fact that they've only sold 18,000 tickets, what does that tell you?
To tell you some of the sizzle
mm-hmm.
is not as you've grown accustomed to it.
A little bit of that, but I think it's also okay. You got our attention last year. Mm-hmm. Awesome. It was exciting. We all bought in. Now win. I take only 18,000 as a sign that people are like, okay, now win.
Yeah, but they still have time. I mean, when's the spring game?
Well, it's coming up in...
it's like the Saturday of the draft, right?
About two more weeks.
Oh, yeah, they could sell
2-3 weeks.
How many total tickets do you think they'll sell?
Oh, boy, they could sell close to 50 if they wanted to, easily. And they're at 18. You think there's going to be that big of a jump between now and...
Well, how many?
Although we're helping here. You're welcome, CU.
Yeah, how many...
Dion, you're welcome.
How many...
we believe...
In the entourage.
You don't believe.
You
know,
we do believe.
You got Lil Wayne coming up, right?
Yeah.
So he's got an entourage of people that are going to need seats.
Bring 10,000 people with him or what?
Yeah, I don't know. You never know. He'll probably be on the sideline.
So
you don't want him too close to the players on the sideline.
I love this. CU is a corrupt and abusive institution. Okay. Thank you, CSU fan.
All righty then.
This must be a Nebraska fan. CU would have to pay me to have dinner with Dion. Listening to this loudmouth nonstop through dinner would be nauseating.
Did you see the video he posted? Where he
pay money to eat with a 4-8 coach? Ridiculous. I would not pay a dollar.
Did Did you see the video he posted of the locker room and the mess? Did you see that? So he stood in front of his team. They had a video of them walking through the kind of halls, and there's tape and there's stuff on the floor. And they were going to get their locker room redone. So somebody had come in, you know, from off campus, somebody that's going to redo the locker room. So he's like, this company or whatever is going to bless us. They're going to fix up our locker room. They're going to da da da. And you guys treat it like a pig pen type of thing. And he stood in front of his team and go, I know the lockers that were, but all of you are paying. After practice day, you will all pay. And if anybody comes up with a anybody comes up with a phantom injury or illness, you're off the team. I'm just going to kick you. I'm just going to cut you. It was awesome.
I saw another video of him calling out his team with some complaints that professors have sent to Dion about the students, how they've been as students. And he's reading the emails in front of the whole team.
Right.
So, hey. Dude. Now you can say, dude's just a showman because he's making sure it's being put out there.
But they've done the whole thing.
Is still being delivered.
Right. They've done the whole thing from a social media standpoint. It's just another way that they're creating, you know, opportunities, and they're creating a buzz for the transfer portal and kids that are being recruited. They want to be part of the TV show. They want to be part of the, I mean, they love that.
An FOS, a friend of Stink, Merrill Hodge has made waves with his assessment of Drake May as a quarterback that's going to get a general manager fired. We're going to talk to Merrill Hodge. He's going to join us. Hodgie, going to join us live next.